This is part two of a two-part podcast on marriage tips. So by all means, be sure you listen to part one. You could listen to it after this one if you prefer, but make sure you get in both of them. There are a lot of good tips here that we think can help strengthen your marriage. So here's part two. Okay, here is another tip that has been so beautiful for Vicki and me through the years. We treasure our sometimes 24-hour retreats together, sometimes 48 hours. And we think it's one of the most beneficial things that we've ever done for our marriage. This works especially when a couple has one day a week when neither of them work and they can kind of concentrate on each other. Now, there's several variations here. You can do it several different ways, but here's basically how we do it. Every couple of months or so, depending on whether we can afford to do it more often or not, we just make plans to go somewhere and spend the night. Maybe just one night. And probably just 2 or 3 hours from where we live. Usually, people live within 2 or 3 hours of some really neat places. Maybe a state park, maybe a national park, some waterfalls, some neat trails to walk, a scenic area of some kind. If you like to shop, Vicki and I don't, we're not big shoppers, but if you like to shop, maybe near a shopping center, you know, recreation areas. There are places like that that we can find if we just look a little bit, Google it, and look on the maps and find some places, and then drive there, you know, just after work on Friday. Vicki usually gets our things ready on Thursday. And Vicki's a great organizer, but you can learn something from her about this. She's put together a list that she prints up of all the things she doesn't want to forget, all the things she wants to remember when we go on a retreat. So she's got that list, and she even has done this. I highly recommend it. She's got a bag sitting in the closet that's like a toiletry bag with all the things that you need, you know, for your toiletries on a trip. So she didn't have to worry about finding those things. We just bought some extras and put them in the bag. And so it takes a lot of the hassle out of going on a short retreat. You know, we don't forget things because they're on the list. And if I tell Vicki one day, hey, it's been a while since we've had a retreat. We need to go to Fall Creek. We need to go somewhere on a getaway. She will almost every time she'll say, I can be ready in 10 minutes. And she literally means that. She can just about be ready in 10 minutes. I mean, she's got it put together. She's got it organized. So when we get off work, we leave immediately, drive to our destination, you know, stop, get something to eat together, spend the night together. We may get up the next morning, have breakfast together. We may go hike a trail. We may take our bikes and ride our bikes on a bike trail somewhere. We may take a scenic drive just to look around at the scenery. You know, usually we kind of planned what we're going to do. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're just spontaneous. Take the camera along, take a few pictures so that you can reminisce. And one of our favorites has been go to visit waterfalls. We like to see different waterfalls in our area. So spend Saturday walking around, looking around, and then drive back home Saturday evening. And you've spent 24 hours at least just focusing intensely on each other. Now think about this. For 24 hours, you're focusing intensely on each other, just focusing on each other, not other stuff, not other people, not kids, don't take other adults with you. It's a powerful and therapeutic way for your marriage to stay healthy. It's powerful. And if you just go on a 24-hour retreat, that keeps your expenses down, doesn't cost that much. You don't have to take off a day of work that way. You don't have to miss church that way. You can still be back Saturday night and go to church on Sunday. And it's just amazing how refreshing that can be. We've commented over and over again how often it seems like, wow, it seems like it's been more than 24 hours. This is so refreshing. This has been so good. You would think we'd been away for a week. It's just rejuvenating somehow. And through the years, some of our most wonderful memories have been made on these little retreats where we concentrate on each other and focus on each other. And I think you just have to experience it for yourself to really appreciate just how powerful it is. Highly recommend it. Related to that is date time. When Vicki and I had kids at home, and we did for many, many years in our marriage, we simply decided that we had to have a time when we could focus on each other. We'd get a babysitter, and for us it was Thursday night. And every Thursday evening, we considered it inviolable. Nothing's going to this is the most important thing on our schedule. Nothing's going to interfere with it. So Thursday night, date night, babysitter. Now, I know there are times when you need to go out with the kids. Yes, you need to do things as a family. Yes. But to keep your marriage healthy, especially when there are kids at home, you need to have a time once a week when you get away from them where we can concentrate on each other. Talk about what's going on, the decisions that need to be made, what's going on in the week, what's frustrating you, what's going well, what's going not so well. You know, just a date night over a meal. It doesn't have to be expensive, but it needs to be alone concentrating on each other. Now, as you get older and the kids leave home, you have more time together anyway, so maybe the date night isn't quite as important. Sometimes we've had date morning. We still do this. On Saturday mornings, we usually go somewhere and get breakfast together and visit and chat and talk about what's going on. And we love it. Now, I got to warn you something. That sounds easy. It will not be easy. You will be attacked by our spiritual enemies. You'll find it more difficult than you ever dreamed to just make this a priority. You know, you'll find all kinds of other demands coming in. Demands that you put on yourself, demands on your time, demands from outside, whether it's church stuff or work-related things or whatever. But there'll be all kinds of demands on that time. And you're going to have the guts, the courage to say, I'm sorry, I've got a commitment for this night or this morning, whenever you're going to do it. And whether they understand it or not, God understands and you understand that your marriage has to take priority. It has to take precedence over all these other urgent things that have to be done. Okay, here's another tip. There will be times, I don't care how good your marriage is, I don't care how long you've been married, I don't care how great you are at communicating with each other, there will be times when you just really don't understand each other. You're not getting through to each other. It seems to me that the devil often tries to get into the communication lines between a husband and a wife. And it's as if there's some kind of weird filter between us that the communication's not getting through. You know, we're just not hearing each other very well. And as soon as one of us picks up on the fact that, whoa, this is happening, we're not communicating well here, this isn't working well, one of us will say something like this, hey, wait a minute, I'm not sure I'm hearing you right. Let me make sure I'm hearing what you're saying. Is this what you're saying? And then try to repeat it. And I think you may be shocked at how often your spouse will say, no, that's not what I'm saying. And so you have to keep listening and repeating back until you say, okay, I got it now. I see what you're saying now. Sometimes that eliminates all the problems right there. We're just not hearing each other well. Either one can do this. If you're the one trying to communicate something and you feel like your spouse isn't hearing it, you can say, wait a minute, I'm not sure you're hearing what I'm really saying. Why don't you try to repeat back for me what you think I'm saying? You know, just say it back so I can make sure you're hearing what I'm trying to say. Maybe I'm not saying it well. Be gracious about it. But either one of you can ask. The one trying to listen or the one trying to talk can say, wait a minute, let's make sure we're hearing each other here. Okay, next tip. We try very hard to keep a teachable spirit. This is easier said than done, especially in marriage. Maybe especially for guys, but women can be very stubborn and unteachable as well, so it works both ways. Do you realize that one of the reasons God put you together as a couple is so that you could help each other see each other's blind spots? We're supposed to help each other grow. And there's nobody that sees my blind spots better than Vicky. And there's nobody that sees her blind spots better than I do. And so God requires us graciously now, be careful, don't get ugly. We have a responsibility to help each other see these things, to remind each other, I see a problem here. But the biggest problem is for us to be able to receive it well. If I don't have a teachable spirit, I'm liable to say, if Vicky comes to me with something she sees that I'm doing wrong or should be doing differently, my natural tendency is to say, well, wait a minute, you're not doing so hot yourself. Wait a minute, what about you? You did this, you said that. And the next thing you know, we got a problem. Instead, I need to say, Lord, help me to receive this well. And help me to be teachable. And help me to be willing to learn, even when it's hard for me to see. I may not believe it. I think, she's wrong. But I better be careful and listen and pray and think and don't just reject it out of hand. So be thankful that your wife or your husband's trying to help you see this stuff and ask to be teachable. Now, I tell you, it can help if you as a spouse, you know your spouse better than anybody in the world, if you approach them in a way that you know will maybe be less likely to cause them to react negatively. In other words, if I say, I got something to talk about, but I think it's going to be a little difficult. I'm afraid it maybe you may think I'm wrong, and maybe I am wrong, and I think this may be hard to hear, but can I share this with you? And already you kind of disarm that person, so they're a little bit more ready to receive it than if you just go blasting through with your criticism. But even if a spouse comes blasting through with criticism, it's good for us to say, Lord, help me to be teachable here. Help me to understand what I need to understand. Help me to get this and become the kind of person you want me to be. And if two people are married together and they both have teachable spirits, wow, your marriage is going to soar. It's going to be awesome. Well, here's another tip. Sometimes, and this can be very difficult for some people, sometimes you have to agree to disagree. There are going to be some issues that even when you've communicated and, yes, you've repeated it back to each other so you really know what's being said, you still disagree. And there are some people who just have a hard time of letting that go. But sometimes you say, look, we don't see the eye to eye on this one. We're going to have to let this one go. And even though at the moment it seems so big and it seems like a huge issue and maybe it's emotionally weighted, but you'll find that if you just let it go, after a period of a little time, it tends to blend in with all the rest of the past and it's just kind of gone and you get to concentrate on other things. So when you agree to disagree, it's okay. You know, you don't have to agree on everything. And sometimes later on you can pick the issue up again and talk about it some more and maybe come to a better agreement. Just make sure it doesn't turn into something that tears your marriage apart. Just remember, though, there are many times when it's okay just to let something go. Another tip, we also believe that it's important that as far as money is concerned, that we have joint accounts, not separate accounts. We've known people through the years who keep separate accounts. He keeps his account, she keeps her account. He has his money, she has her money. And to us, that says something really negative about a marriage. It says that they can't quite trust each other. They can't quite come to an agreement about things. And so they just kind of go their own way financially. Money is one of the things God puts into our lives to help us learn oneness. And so he gives us this as a test, as an opportunity. And sometimes we have to do a lot of praying and talking and thinking and discussing and waiting before we spend money. But we need to do it together. We need, just like everything else, it needs to be demonstrate oneness, that we trust each other, we're together, we're united. And if we can't do that, you know, there needs to be some serious groundwork done in the marriage. You need to go to the Christian bookstore, get you some marriage help books, and build some basic trust and build some basic communication and learn how to work through problems together and learn how to come to joint decisions together. I mean, that, it's work, yes. But if you want to have a marriage that represents Jesus in the church, we need to be one. Here's another tip that may help you. We try to proceed with caution and just kind of be patient and just wait when either one of us has reservations. Now, let me tell you what happens in a lot of marriages. It can be about spending money. It can be about going somewhere. It can be about any kind of decision. But one spouse wants to do something really, really badly. This is what I want to do. This is where I want to go. This is how I want to spend this time. And they're very strong about it. This is what they really, really want. And the other spouse wants their spouse to be happy, but they have some reservations about it. So what we'll often do is say, well, if that's really what you want, I don't know, I guess it's okay. And the first spouse says, yes, that's what I wanted to hear. I'm going to do it. And we think that's a mistake. We think that all we should have to do as a spouse is express just a little bit of reservation. Hey, I'm not sure that's a good idea. I don't know about this. I'm not persuaded yet. For the first spouse, who's all gung-ho about what he or she wants to do, to back off and say, okay, if you're not sure, I'm going to back off. Let's talk about this. Let's pray about this. Let's think about this, because maybe I'm just going overboard here. Maybe I'm not thinking well. Don't just plunge ahead because your spouse says, well, okay, I guess, and then you run with the ball. Don't do that. That's damaging to your marriage. It's damaging your trust. If your spouse expresses some reservations, then say, take a deep breath and say, okay, we need to talk. I don't want to push too hard here. Help me understand why you have some reservations, and Lord, help me to be willing to give this thing up. I'm going to hold it with a light hand. Maybe this is not what you want me to do, even though I'm all excited about it. And then realize time will help you figure this out. And yes, sometimes after a little time, the spouse who had the reservations will say, okay, I don't have any more reservations. Let's go for it. And sometimes the one who was all gung-ho will say, ooh, I see what you mean. Yeah, that's a problem, all right, and backs off. But we need to be really, really together on these things. Okay, we have one more tip on this page, and that has to do with anger and hurt and feelings. It's not unusual for one of us to think the other one is angry about something. When the other one doesn't feel anger at all, they're feeling hurt or taken advantage of or something like that. And so when we accuse somebody of being angry, it just kind of stirs things up, makes things worse. We need to be careful about telling our spouse, or anyone else for that matter, how they're feeling. We can tell them how we're feeling based on what they're communicating or what they're saying or how they're behaving. We can say, you know, this makes me feel this way. But I want to be careful about trying to tell them how they feel or even how they should feel. You know, let's just leave that between them and God. Remember, we got an enemy who wants to mess up our communication. And this is one of those most vulnerable times. I mean, it's not uncommon for both husband and wife to feel hurt. And for both husband and wife to feel their spouse is angry. So they feel their spouse is angry, but they're hurt. And we just need to be careful how we communicate in those times. We also need to be careful, I think, though, to redefine anger. Some of us have an anger problem, but we don't ever want to fess up. We get angry and we call it hurt because hurt sounds better than anger. We don't want people to think we're angry, so I'm not angry, I'm hurt. But we're really angry. So be careful about redefining anger or trying to give it a better word, a euphemism. But things will go a lot better if when we see those feelings begin to build and become more intense, if either one of us says, hey, I'm sorry I got so angry, or I'm sorry I tried to tell you how you ought to feel or how you are feeling, and I'm sorry I've not been listening better, and I want to back this down a notch here so we can communicate better. Anger can do an awful lot of damage to a marriage.
Well, those are the tips. And I think there are about 18 of them altogether. And I imagine that some of them, as you listened, you thought, yeah, we could use a little work there. Let me tell you something. There's a danger at this point right now that you'll say, okay, I've listened to that. Move on. I want to encourage you, go back and listen again, probably with your spouse, and stop after every tip and discuss it and say, how are we doing here? Do we need to work on this? Do we need to change something? And have a pretty good discussion, maybe take a few notes, and then have a checkup every now and then, see how you're doing. It's worth the effort, guys. It's too critical. Marriage is in trouble in our country. And if we Christians are going to set an example and help other people see what marriage is supposed to be like and how wonderful it can be, we're going to have to work at it. But with the help of Jesus, if we keep him Lord of our lives, Lord of our marriages, we'll have great marriages and we'll be great examples. And he'll be very pleased at the way we're representing the relationship between him and his church.